Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who had pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth to men, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favour rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
So we're just going to take a few moments to think about these promises of Christmas we've been talking about, because Christmas promises so much, and the world promises us so much at Christmas time. The adverts we see on TV promise us amazing things. Presents, the biggie at Christmas time, presents. TV promises us what this toy can do for you. It can change your life. And it's not even just toys. An advert for a razor came on the other day claiming that razor could change your life. Now, I'm not big on razors, I use cheap disposable ones, but I'm sure even if I got a good one, it wouldn't change my life. So, presents have big promises. And if you're a kid, that matters a lot too. I've got a few presents here. Here we go. Here's some presents I've wrapped. It's the only present I've wrapped all year, that's what I've got a wife for. So, Yeah, half the people in here laughed at that one, didn't they? I've got two presents here. I'm looking for some people who'd like to come up on stage and open a Christmas present early. Who'd like to come and open a Christmas present early? Well, the rapper's done so well. Let's have one of the rappers. Go on, up you come. Let's have one of the younger guys. Let's have Sam, let's have you. All right, Sam, you come on this side. Right, rappers. King, there we go, stand there. Right, you get the choice. Who'll go first? Let's have you go first. You can open this present, you can have this present, or you can have this present.
Which,
you want that one?
Yes, it's because there's nothing
Sam. Sam, you lucky boy. Right, go on then, open your presents. You're going to be embarrassed now. Yeah, that one's harder to get into as well. Alfredo, good stuff. Sam, what have you got?
Box.
And Sam's got Alfredo as well. Well done, guys. There for you. Take them away. Well done, Sam. Note to self who you get up on stage. Good, right. Presents. The promises at Christmas tell us the bigger the box, the better the present. And as a child, many children will come down and see a big box and their imaginations go wild. But sometimes it's not quite what it seems. Sometimes the promise is bigger than what's inside. If you go onto our church website at the moment, There's a blog from me on there talking about my experiences of presence and how becoming an adult was a devastating time. Because as a child, you get all these wonderful presents. The promise of Christmas in presents is wonderful. And then as you grow a little bit older, the presents get worse. And the promise of Christmas, the promise of presents in socks, jumpers, and if you're lucky, a book. The promise isn't quite there as much as it is when you're a kid. But you know, I've started to experience the other side now, not just as a child wanting the exciting presents, the promise of presents, but I'm now buying presents for my child. And up until now, he hasn't really bothered. It's been more about what I wanted. For his first birthday, I bought him a Scalextric set. So, for those under a certain age, Scalextrics are cars that move around a track. It's not a computer game or anything, but it was fun when I was a kid. I bought him one of those, and it's been great up until then, but now I'm worrying as a parent whether the promise of Christmas, they've told me that this thing, I can't say it because he's here, but that this thing I've bought him is the best out there and it'll be wonderful for him. And when he opens it, that he'll love it. But the promise that's worrying me now as a parent is when he opens that, what if he doesn't like that? So it's on the other foot now. So the promise of Christmas presents is a harsh one sometimes, because sometimes they're not as good as you think they will be when you're a kid. And when you're a parent, you've got that hoping your kids like it. And then if you haven't got kids, and you're not a parent, your kids have grown up, and you're not a kid anymore, well, you're probably going to get bubble bath. So the promise of the promise of Christmas isn't great for you either. There. But that's presents. The other big one at Christmas, the other promise they sell us at the moment, is food. The adverts, the cookery shows. And do you know what the promise of Christmas is for food? That what you do will look and taste just like what Delia does. That's the promise of Christmas for food. That you will follow her instructions, and what you present on Christmas Day on the table will be exactly the same as what Delia presents in her book and on her show. The problem is that Delia, on her show, hasn't got three kids pulling on her legs, hasn't got a dog running around her feet, and hasn't got the small child wanting batteries for the computer game or for the program that you've just bought them. It's not real. So that when the food comes out, it might quite not look like Delia's, but they promise us it will. And you know, sometimes I was watching one the other day, and the promise was that I could get this wonderful dew for my Christmas pudding. The only problem was that when Heston did it, he had some liquid nitrogen, and I just haven't got that in my cupboard. So the promise is that I'll be able to make food just like that, but it doesn't happen. My very first Christmas as a married man was an exciting time for me. Is this being taped? My mum's not the best cook in the world. Didn't really. Hannah's mum, on the other hand, is a great cook. So Christmas dinner, my first Christmas as a married man was a great promise because I was going to Hannah's house for food. The problem was we woke up on Christmas morning, opened some presents. It was all going great until she went to turn the oven on and the oven didn't work. The oven was broken. So she had no oven to make the Christmas dinner in. She was very good. She managed to, you know, microwave some stuff and do some other stuff. But the promise of Christmas dinner wasn't there for me because an oven had broken. And that was my first very Christmas. So the promise of food at Christmas isn't even there. And the other one that we get here a lot about at this time is family. Boys and girls, mums and dads, grands and granddads. It's a great time to get together as family. And the promise is that you will have peace and harmony and love in your families this Christmas. But you know that by the end of Christmas Day, if you make it to the Queen's speech, you're doing well. And that peace and harmony and love are not always the promises that fill our lives on Christmas morning or Christmas evening by the time we get there. And we haven't even brought in aunts and uncles and other people who come around at Christmas who we don't see the rest of the year. But the promises are that we'll have peace and we'll have harmony, and it'll be wonderful. Again, I've had 5 Christmases as a married man, and I've looked forward to family times in each. For 2 of them, my wife has been violently sick, so she has been laying in bed all day, being violently sick. I remember that first Christmas, I bought her a very unromantic present. I bought her Dawn French's autobiography called Dear Fatty. Not a great idea, anyway. But here was my wife. I'd had to go up to her Christmas morning. She was being sick whilst I presented her Dawn French's book called Dear Fatty. So it didn't go down great. Well, it all come up very tiny. another Christmas she was sick. For two of those Christmases, she would have just given birth. We didn't time things very well, and we had birthdays on the 19th and the 21st of December. So for two of those Christmases, we can't remember because we'd had no sleep for a week. So two of those Christmases had disappeared. So out of five family Christmases that I've had as a married man, one of them has been your ideal picture of waking up, opening the presents, having a lovely day and a lovely dinner. But the promise of family at Christmas doesn't always happen as well. Now, I don't want to be a grumpy person this morning. I don't want to be a Scrooge, because Christmas is amazing. I love it, and I love those things. I love presents, I love family, and I love food. And I wish you a Merry Christmas. And I wish that all those things go great for you. I hope, boys and girls, that you get all the presents you want, and I hope you bring one of them to show me and Pete up here on Christmas morning. I hope, mums and dads, that you get the experience you want when your child opens a present and you get the awe factor. I hope, mums, and maybe some dads, that your food looks like Delia's. It would be brilliant. And I hope that you have brilliant family times. I wish you a Merry Christmas. But I say wish, and we wish each other a Merry Christmas, because we can't guarantee it. We can't guarantee those things happening. I wish you a Merry Christmas, but we can't guarantee those promises coming true. Tim Minchin, the comedian and songwriter, wrote a song. He sang it on Children in Need the other week. And in that song, it's all about how Christmas, he's not interested in meeting Jesus, he says. All he's interested in is going and drinking white wine in the sun. He's Australian, so he's going back to Australia. He's interested in drinking white wine in the sun with his dad and his mum and his wife. And that's what the song, it's a beautiful song on an acoustic guitar. But as a Christian watching it, I sat there and I thought, that's amazingly sad. Because if that's all Christmas is for him, if that's the promise he's hanging on to, we know that in a couple of days he could get to Heathrow, or even now, and his flight to Australia could be stopped because of the weather. And these promises that he's hanging on to, of white wine on the beach with a mum and a dad, might not happen, and he might be in an airport by himself over Christmas. Those promises might not happen, and if those are the promises we're holding on to at Christmas time, they might not happen. I wish they do. I wish you a Merry Christmas, but they might not. What we've seen this morning in the Nativity story with the kids and the readings is that God's promises in the Nativity story came true. Hundreds, some thousands of years before they happened, God prophesied them. He gave them to people to prophesy, to tell good truths that would happen, and they all came true. And even that one, as we came through to the Easter story, when Jesus came to be crucified, he came on that new donkey, on that young donkey. And that had been foretold years and years ago. And God's promises do come true. And then I can give God's promises with a guarantee. So there's one promise that comes from that Isaiah passage that we read this morning. Dave said that there were promises in it for us. There's a promise from that for us at Christmas. And God's Christmas promise to us is this. And it comes with a guarantee because it's God's promise. God says in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." That's where it starts. At Christmas time, the Christmas story as we've seen it, is all about God sending his son Jesus to the world which he made, but to a world which rejected him. A world which wanted to go their own way and not give God the glory, not give God praise, and wanted to do their own wrong things. And God was devastated by that, so he sent his son Jesus into the world. And that's what Christmas is about. And the run through to Easter, where Jesus, on that cross, took the pain, took the rebellion of those people, of us. But the promise comes after. It says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son." Here's the promise: "that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And the promise from God this Christmas, apart from all those promises that came true there, the promise for us is this: that whoever believes in this, whoever believes that God sent his son Jesus at this time, whoever believes that that happened because of our rebellion, because in our hearts we chose not to go God's way, and we chose to go our own way. I mean, that's all of us. That's not just the murderers and those people we put up there as big rebellion people. That's us, who tell lies, who are sometimes selfish, who go our own way, who think those thoughts which we'd hate other people to think. That's our rebellion against God. And if we believe that we're in that position and there's nothing we can do about it, and if we believe that God sent Jesus Christ into the earth as a baby, but eventually as a man to die on the cross, to take away that rebellion, to take the punishment that was ours, then the promise is this, that we will not perish, that we will have eternal life. That we again can have that relationship with the Father that was his idea, which was best for us in the first place. That we can have that here, right now. That Christmas, as well as all those earthly promises, can be the promise of God, and we celebrate Jesus Christ being born. And we celebrate Jesus Christ in our lives. And the promise goes on that we will have eternal life. I don't know what you believe, but we believe that when this world ends, that's not it. When you finish in this world, there is a whole everlasting life to deal with, to go through. And the promise is this. God says, when you die, if you are mine, if you've believed this, you will come and be with me. You'll join me in heaven. You'll join me on the new earth. And we will celebrate, and it will be a wonderful time. And you will be with me forever. And that's God's promise to you. And like God's promises in the Christmas story, it's true. Those other promises might let you down those Christmas. The dinner might go wrong. The presents might not be what they were. Families might be at each other. But God's promise is this. That if you call on my name this Christmas, if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour, the one who deals with that rebellion that separates you from God, you can be with God this Christmas. This Christmas could be a first real Christmas for you where you celebrate the birth of Jesus and celebrate Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And that one day you will can be with him forever. It's God's promise and it's a real promise. This morning's been great. The kids, you were wonderful. You've done me proud. There'll be some mince pies and some coffee and stuff down in the hall that we can celebrate together. But if it is your first time with us today or you're a visitor who doesn't come each week, there is a little present for you as you leave. Inside there's something sweet, there's a green envelope, there's a little booklet, and there's the Gospel of Luke that some of our readings have come from this morning. If you want to learn about this Jesus character and learn about God, our Heavenly Father, then have a look in that Gospel and talk to some of us here. In the seats there's a little card explaining Christianity Explored. It's a course that if you want to ask questions and if you want to find out more about this Jesus character that we talk about, you can fill that in and we can get you on a 7-week course where you can ask the questions that you want. But think about the promises this Christmas. Think about God's promises at Christmas, how they came true in the Nativity story, and how the promise to you today is if you believe and if you call on his name today, you will be saved and you can be with him eternally. I'm going to pray and then we'll finish. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you to your goodness to us. I want to pray that everyone here today has that Christmas that they desire. I want to pray that gifts and family time and food go exceedingly well, more than we could imagine. That this Christmas will be a precious time for us, wherever we are, if we're with family, with loved ones, if we're by ourselves, whatever our situation, that we will have a great knowledge of you this Christmas and a great time. But we pray, Lord, and thank you for your promises. We thank you for Jesus, that he came as a babe at Christmas time, but we thank you that he grew and that he took that place on the cross. I pray that you put it on our hearts now to think, to trust you, to know that your words are true and that your promises are true. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.